Welcome back to the deep dive. Look, usually when we sit down to record one of these, we've got a stack of articles about, a new phone release or maybe a shift in some social media algorithm.
Right, the standard tech news cycle.
Exactly, the standard stuff. But today is different. I've got this report in front of me, the Tech and Analysis, alongside this really heavy editorial from the New York Times. And honestly,
Yeah.
it reads less like a tech update and more like a history book that someone wrote in advance.
It really does. It's one of those rare moments where you just kind of stop and you realize the ground is actively shifting under your feet.
So they're calling it the era of light speed coding. And my first reaction, when I read that was, okay, great, computers are faster, Moore's law, right? We already know this.
Right, exactly.
But the more I read into the sources, the more I realize that speed is actually completely the wrong word for what's happening here.
It is the wrong word. Speed implies we're just doing the exact same old thing, but we're hitting the accelerator. What the Tekin analysis is describing is an absolute metamorphosis. They actually compare this shift to the invention of the compiler.
Which is a massive comparison. I mean, the compiler changed everything.
It did. Because before compilers, you were literally flipping physical switches or punching holes in cards to make a machine work. The compiler allowed us to speak to computers in something resembling math and logic.
Right.
But this new shift, it's moving us from speaking computer to the computer finally understanding human. We aren't talking about a slightly better spell checker here or a smarter autocomplete.
No, it's way bigger than that.
We are talking about the friction between I have an idea and I have a functional business. The friction is just dissolving.
And that right there, that is the hook for me. The idea that the gap between a random brainwave in the shower and a deployed, fully money-making app has gone from months of grinding to, well, mere minutes.
Exactly. We've completely moved past the era of AI as a copilot. You know, that helpful little assistant in the corner suggesting a single line of code. We've officially entered the era of the autonomous development squads.
Squad. I really love that word choice in the report. It implies a team, right? It implies coordination.
A highly coordinated team.
So here is our mission for today's deep dive. For you listening, we need to unpack what this actually means. I want to understand what this looks like for someone sitting at a keyboard right now, what it does to the business world, specifically the big legacy guys versus the little guys. And then I definitely want to get into the scary stuff
Yeah.
because there is always a catch.
Oh, there is always a catch. And the catch with this one is fascinating.
Right, let's start with the how. The report talks heavily about the death of syntax and the rise of agentic IDEs. Now, I know what an IDE is. That's the software developers live in, right? Like Visual Studio. It's the blank screen where you type the code.
Right, the integrated development environment.
Yeah, but what on earth is an agentic IDE?
To really understand that shift, you have to look at the old way first. For the last 40 years, if you wanted to build software, you essentially had to be a human translator.
Okay.
You had a human idea like, I want a big blue button that saves this photo.
Yeah.
And you had to manually translate that human desire into machine syntax, Python, C++, all Rust. You had to worry about brackets, memory allocation,
Oh,
semicolons.
yes, the dreaded missing semicolon that crashes the entire program.
Exactly. It's a very fragile, incredibly manual process. In that system, you are essentially just a high-paid typist of logic.
Right, typing it all out by hand.
But in an agentic development environment, that whole manual translation layer is completely gone. You do not type code anymore. You feed the system a PRD.
Okay, let's stop right there. PRD. We hear this acronym thrown around in Silicon Valley all the time. What is it, really, in this context?
It stands for Product Requirements Document. But don't let the corporate-sounding name fool you. It's basically just a text document, written in plain English or French or Spanish, whatever natural language you speak, that describes exactly what you want the software to do.
So I'm not writing out if X equals Y logic statements. I'm just writing, hey, build me a dashboard that tracks coffee sales by region.
Precisely. You describe the vision, and this is where the Lightspeed part actually kicks in. The framework takes your written document and shatters it.
Shatters it.
That's the specific term the analysis uses. It breaks your English description down into hundreds of tiny micro tasks. And then this is the squad part. It distributes those tasks to specialized AI agents.
Specialize how exactly? Is it like a little virtual office inside my computer?
In a way, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You might have one agent that is a world-class expert in PostgreSQL database architecture. It looks at your request for tracking coffee sales, and it instantly designs the most efficient table structure for that specific data.
Wow.
And simultaneously, another completely different agent is writing the RESTful APIs, the digital pipes that move that coffee data around.
And they're doing this working at the exact same time.
Total parallel processing.
Yeah.
And while they do that, a third agent might be handling the user front end. The New York Times editorial actually mentions that these front end agents are making independent design decisions based on color psychology and UX telemetry.
Wait, hold on. So the AI is deciding, you know, blue is a trustworthy color, so I'll just make the sales dashboard blue without me even asking for it.
If that's what the best practices in his massive training data suggest, yes. It's not just typing code, it's architecting the product.
That is just wild. So instead of me banging my head against the wall at 2 a.m. trying to center a button on a web page, I have an agent that just inherently handles the front end psychology.
Exactly. And this leads to what I really think is the most profound point in the tech and analysis. They explicitly state that this transition has elevated English, or any natural language, really to the single most powerful programming language on Earth.
That's a massive statement. I mean, it basically says the technical barrier to entry just completely collapsed.
It shifts the entire value proposition of a human being. If the machine handles the syntax perfectly, your value as a creator isn't about memorizing code libraries or debugging syntax errors anymore.
Right, because the machine does that better anyway.
Exactly. Your value is now entirely about the clarity of your logic. It's about the expressive power of your architectural vision. If you can describe it clearly to the machine, the agents can build it.
So if I can think it and I can articulate it clearly, I can just build it. I don't need to speak computer anymore.
The computer has finally learned to speak human.
Okay, so let's play this out in the real world. If that friction is totally gone and literally anyone with a clear vision can build highly sophisticated software, that has to cause massive ripples in the business world. The sources use some pretty dramatic language here, talking about the fall of software empires and the end of the bloatware era.
It sounds like hyperbole, but it's just pure economics. Think about it. For the last 20 years, if you wanted to build an enterprise-scale platform, something huge, to compete with a Salesforce or a Slack or Microsoft, you needed a massive human hierarchy.
Right. You needed a small army.
You needed what the report calls a legacy team.
Yeah. You need your product managers, your back-end engineers, your front-end devs, QA testers, DevOps people. And then you obviously need layers of middle managers just to manage the managers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A team of 300 people is completely standard for that kind of software. And what inevitably happens when you have 300 people trying to build one single thing?
Meetings. Just an unbelievable amount of meetings.
Endless meetings. Constant communication breakdowns, version control nightmares. The report calls the output of this massive structure bloatware. It becomes heavy, sluggish software simply because there is so much human overhead and bureaucracy involved in every single tiny decision.
But now, the venture capitalists, the VCs, who actually hold the purse strings for these startups, the analysis points out they're tracking a completely new metric. They call it the one-person unicorn.
The one-person unicorn. It almost sounds like a myth, doesn't it? A unicorn is traditionally a startup valued at over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that one single human being could build that alone seems impossible.
But the data in the report suggests it's not only possible now, it's actually happening.
It is happening.
Yeah.
And imagine a single brilliant developer, but they aren't typing any code. They act as the general of an army. They are armed with premium enterprise subscriptions to these AI orchestration agents.
Right.
So one agent optimizes the complex database queries. Another agent constantly manages the load balancing on AWS so the servers don't crash when traffic spikes. Yet another agent handles all the level one customer support tickets autonomously.
So let's look at the David versus Goliath metrics here, because the contrast they lay out is absolutely insane. The source compares a traditional legacy team of 300 people directly to an agent-centric team of just 3 people.
Look at the burn rate. That's the raw cash you set on fire every single month just to keep the lights on. The legacy team is burning millions of dollars per month. Salaries, benefits, massive office space in San Francisco, health insurance.
And the agent-centric team of 3.
A few $1,000s a month,
mm-hmm.
Mostly just raw server costs and the API tokens to run the AI models.
Millions versus thousands. I mean, that is just not a fair fight. You could launch and fail 10 different times for the cost of the legacy team's weekly lunch budget.
It gets much worse for the legacy companies when you look at agility. The report notes that these legacy teams are completely trapped in their own bureaucracy. Changing direction or pivoting the product is like trying to turn an aircraft carrier. It takes miles of ocean.
Right, because you have to get 300 people on board with the change.
But the agentic team...
They can just turn on a dime?
They can rewrite their entire complete software architecture in 24 hours.
24 hours to rewrite an entire platform.
Because the agents are doing all the heavy lifting. If the human architect decides, hey, we need to pivot our entire business from a flat subscription model to a usage-based billing model, they just update the natural language requirements document.
And the agents just do it.
The agents refactor the entire code base overnight.
So what does this actually mean for the big tech companies? Are they just sitting there like dinosaurs waiting for the asteroid to hit?
It means that algorithmic agility is the new ultimate weapon in business. The tech and analysis makes a huge point here. The quality of the idea now definitively crushes human headcount.
Wow.
You can't just throw massive piles of money and hundreds of bodies at a software problem anymore and expect to win. The barrier to entry for a disruptor startup has dropped to near zero.
That is incredibly empowering if you're the little guy with a great idea, but it has to be absolutely terrifying if you're the incumbent tech giant.
It forces a total renaissance. You either adapt to this new speed or you die.
Speaking of adapting, let's talk about the nightmare scenario for literally every developer I know deployment. Because it's one thing to write the code fast, but it's a whole other thing to keep it running live on the internet. I have friends in DevOps, and they basically live in a state of perpetual anxiety.
Oh, absolutely.
Deployment day is usually industry code for nobody sleeps and everyone is crying.
It traditionally was terrifying. Pushing entirely new features to live production servers was a massive, high-stakes gamble. You'd usually do it at 3 in the morning so that if everything crashed and burned, fewer customers would notice the site was down.
Right, and you'd have dozens of engineers just sitting on a call, staring at monitor graphs, praying nothing turns red.
But the New York Times analysis says we've completely left that behind. We've entered the era of autonomous CI/CD. Now, for the listener who maybe sees that acronym everywhere but isn't a developer, let's unpack that. What is CI/CD?
Sure. It stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Deployment. It's basically the automated pipeline that takes the raw code from a developer's laptop and pushes it to the live public website.
Exactly. So how does this new AI actually change that pipeline?
The report describes it as a full metamorphosis. In this new agentic model, when a coding agent generates a new script or feature, it doesn't just go to a human manager for a manual review. It goes directly to a secondary, highly specialized AI known as a red team agent.
A red team. That sounds very military, like they're actively playing the enemy.
Exactly like that. This red team agent immediately blasts the brand new code with hundreds of simulated aggressive attack vectors. It's effectively a brilliant hacker that lives on your payroll.
Oh, well.
It's aggressively looking for zero-day vulnerabilities, memory leaks, security holes. And the key here is it does all of this before the code ever goes live to the public.
So it's literally playing offense against its own team's code to make sure it's tough enough to survive the real internet.
Precisely. And if the code successfully passes that brutal gauntlet, it's still not a human who pushes the launch button. The deployment agent takes over, automatically containerizes the code using deployment tools like Kubernetes, and orchestrates the entire rollout to the cloud servers.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me, reading through the sources. The report mentions a sci-fi reality regarding what happens if something actually does break. Because let's be real, things always break eventually, right?
Yeah.
Even with red teams attacking it.
They do. Things always slip through. But in this new system, the AI monitoring constantly watches the live site. Say it detects a problem like a tiny latency spike where the app slows down for a few users. Oh. It detects that in milliseconds.
Okay.
It initiates an instant automated rollback to the previous safe version of the site. But then it goes a massive step further. It writes an emergency patch itself.
Wait, hold on. It writes the code fix itself without a human engineer ever typing fix this bug.
Yes. It analyzes the live error log, determines exactly why the code failed. Maybe it was a weird database lock issue. It writes the software patch, runs it through the red team again, and redeploys the fixed site.
That is unbelievable.
And all of this happens entirely before a human engineer even receives the server down alert on their phone.
So by the time the engineer actually wakes up at 3 a.m., rubs their eyes, and looks at their phone,
the problem is already solved. The site is fixed.
That is, I mean, that's the ultimate dream, right? The self-healing machine.
It's a self-healing machine, yes. And the source claims this completely removes 99% of catastrophic human errors. It allows for absolute total trust in the automation. You have teams pushing dozens of major updates a day with literally zero downtime because the safety net is completely automated.
So I have to ask the obvious, maybe slightly uncomfortable question here. if the AI writes the code and then AI tests the code, deploys the code, and fixes the code when it breaks, are we literally looking at the end of the human software engineering career?
Yeah.
Are human programmers obsolete?
The Tech and Analysis actually gives a very definitive no to that. But, and this is a big but, it describes what they call a genetic mutation of the job role.
A mutation? That sounds a bit drastic.
It is drastic. The junior code typist, the person whose entire job is to take a detailed spec sheet and just blindly type out the syntax, that role is facing total extinction. It's gone.
Right.
If your primary value to a company is that you know how to perfectly write a for loop in Java without looking it up on Google, you are in serious trouble.
Okay, so who actually survives this? What does the new successful developer look like?
We are seeing the rapid rise of what they call the system architect or the orchestration engineer.
Orchestration engineer. I really like the sound of that.
Think of it like a massive symphony. The new developer isn't the person playing the violin anymore. They are the conductor. They manage this complex symphony of AI agents. They are essentially the CEOs of their code base.
So their daily job is much more big picture stuff.
Exactly. Their core responsibilities completely shift toward designing macro architectures. They're asking the big questions. How does user data flow securely through this massive system? What is our zero trust security policy? How do these 50 different microservices talk to each other without creating a bottleneck?
Interesting.
Their financial value isn't determined by how fast they type characters on a keyboard, but by their ability to strategically guide and supervise these massive AI foundation models.
So you're not a builder with a hammer anymore. You're a site supervisor. You're a manager of extremely fast digital machines.
You are. And honestly, that requires a much deeper understanding of complex systems than ever before. Paradoxically, you actually need to know way more about how software works conceptually, even if you aren't the one writing the individual lines of syntax.
Okay, so far this all sounds pretty utopian for the listener. We build things faster, they're way cheaper, and the digital systems literally fix themselves while we sleep. But I noticed a very specific section in the source material that sounds a massive alarm. And honestly, it's a bit of a plot twist. It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
The twist is absolutely necessary. We really can't gloss over the massive risks here. The report introduces a terrifying concept called deep layer algorithmic hallucination.
Deep layer algorithmic hallucination.
That
sounds like the title of a sci-fi horror movie. What does that actually mean in practice?
Well, we already know AI models can hallucinate. They can just confidently make things up or get basic logic entirely wrong. Now imagine you have an army of autonomous agents generating tens of thousands of lines of code every single day.
Okay. Speed is the name of the game.
Right. But if just one foundational agent implants a piece of deeply flawed logic, a hallucination right in the core foundation of your software, and then hundreds of other agents rapidly build massive new features right on top of that flawed foundation.
Oh, I see exactly where this is going. It's like building a 100-story skyscraper on a cracked concrete foundation.
Exactly. You get a rapid, uncontrollable avalanche of what they call catastrophic technical debt. You wake up and you end up with a massive, incredibly complex system built entirely on a broken mathematical premise.
And because no human being actually sat down and wrote that code line by line?
No human has ever even read it. The report calls the resulting mess a labyrinthine system. Debugging this digital monster is exponentially harder than just building it from scratch because you have absolutely no idea where the ghost in the machine is hiding.
Right. You didn't lay the bricks yourself, so you don't know which brick is the loose one.
Exactly. So extreme speed is a double-edged sword. Yes, you can build a billion-dollar unicorn company in a month, but you might also be rapidly building an unstable monster that you cannot conceptually control.
That is the real danger, and this perfectly reinforces why that human system architect role we talked about is so vital. Without rigorous human-in-the-loop oversight, without a brilliant person constantly auditing the architecture and demanding strict accountability from the AI agents, they will just build uncontrollable software monsters.
So we can't just set the AI to run and then go to the beach. We need to be the active guardrails.
Absolutely. The one-person unicorn model only actually works if that one person is incredibly vigilant.
This has been just an incredible look at where the industry is heading. It really feels like everything we knew about software development over the last few decades is being turned completely upside down.
It is a total fundamental reset of the industry.
So let's quickly recap everything we've unpacked for you today. We've moved from the slow era of typing syntax to the rapid era of prompting agents. English is officially the new code.
And we've clearly seen the massive shift from those sluggish 300-person legacy teams to these incredibly agile three-person, one-person unicorn structures that completely leverage algorithmic agility.
We talked about the reality of the self-healing machine autonomous CI/CD pipelines that actively fix themselves before human engineers even wake up. But we also looked deeply at the trap. Deep layer hallucinations. The very real risk of accidentally building a labyrinth that no human mind can actually understand.
Right. And the massive takeaway for me looking at both the NYT piece and the analysis is that startups or huge enterprises that fail to weaponize their own army of agents are simply going to be left behind. The source puts it very bluntly. They will be buried in the graveyard of tech history.
It's a harsh reality, but an incredibly exciting one if you're ready for it. It forces us to stop being typists and start being real thinkers.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
Strategic thinking is more valuable right now than it has ever been.
I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over today.
Right.
We spent a lot of time talking about how a single person can now wield the production power of a massive tech giant. If the barrier to entry is basically zero, and truly anyone can build anything at light speed, what does the next generation of a monopoly actually look like? And more importantly, are we personally ready to trust our daily lives, our banking, our healthcare, to software that evolves so fast that we physically cannot read it?
That is truly the question of the decade.
Thanks for listening to This Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.